We thank you for being here with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a telephone or similar device, we also ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that's been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We also ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. In the testimony, Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission should direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing an application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We thank you, sir. Our first public hearing is conditional use number 2025, Rudy South, care of TNC Properties, LLC.
Now, this is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for boat sales, service, and storage to be located on a certain parcel of land, lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 27.84 acres, more or less. Property is located northeast of Robinsonville Road, Road 277, approximately 1,200 feet northwest of Webb's Landing Road, being Road 277B. The 911 address was not available. The tax map ID is District 234, Map 6, Parcel 96. For the benefit of the record, the commission had been previously provided with a survey site plan that came with the application filed on June 8th of 2015 and with an exhibit booklet that was submitted by the applicant on August 17th of 2015. And the commissioners all have copies of both the survey site plan and the exhibit booklet. We did receive some agency comments and some comments from public sector. The Department of Transportation provided comments on both April 17th of 2015 and May 6th of 2015 in the form of letters and a support facilities report. Referencing that, originally the department had referenced that an area-wide study fee could be paid to DLDOT in lieu of performing a traffic impact study, that the developer has provided more information to DLDOT concerning the use, that it has been estimated that the use would generate fewer than 50 vehicle trips during a weekly or any weekly peak hour and 500 vehicle trips per day, and would not require a traffic impact study. and that the level of service A of Robinsonville Road will not change as a result of this application. We also received comments from the Sussex Conservation District. They were received on August 24th of 2015 in reference that there are five soil types on this property, that the applicants will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches are affected, that off-site drainage improvements may be necessary, and that on-site drainage improvements are likely. The County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division also provided comments. They were received August 24th, and they referenced that the property is located in the Angola Neck planning area, that sewer service has not been extended to the parcel, that the property is not capable of being annexed into a county-operated sanitary sewer district at this time, that when sewer service is provided to the area, connection is mandatory, and that a concept plan is not required. I received an email from Steve Britz earlier today opposing this application and expressing concerns about the large-scale commercial project being completely out of character with the surrounding agriculture residential area and will serve to open the area for further future commercial development. That he lives in Webb Landing and referenced at Love Creek Landing, a proposed 213 residential dwelling project is immediately adjacent to the property, that the Novacell development, a 160-lot residential dwelling project, is immediately opposite the property, would also be impacted by this project, that the applicant proposes to install overhead lighting for the purpose of after-dark sales and security, that even though the planned lighting is supposed to be directed downwards, it is likely to have a major negative visual impact on surrounding homes, and reference specifically Webb Landing, that the applicant is proposing a 20-foot-wide vegetated buffer with a 3-foot berm surrounding the property, which is inadequate to serve surrounding homes from the visual impact of a boatyard if constructed. That since the applicant is proposing to set aside over 7 acres to preserve the agricultural character of the property, he contends that there is sufficient land to increase the width of the buffer zones. Now, that the land will present problems for commercial development since the bowl-shaped center is approximately 5 feet or more below the periphery, that even though the applicant proposes to use a pervious paving surface, it is probable that large amounts of fill dirt will be required to raise the center to reduce ponding, that this in turn is likely to affect drainage to the aquifer and may impact a drainage swale on adjacent land that directs stormwater runoff from lands across Robinsonville Road towards Stillman Glade, a tributary of Love Creek. And that the swimming pond designation in the south corner of the property appeared to be a poorly disguised retention pond and is likely to attract nuisance waterfowl. And gentlemen, that's all I have received to date, and that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you, sir. Mr. Fuqua, how are you this evening?
Very good.
All right, sir. You may have the floor.
Ms. Cornwell, gentlemen, for the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant, Rudy South. With me seated right here are Tom Rudolph, who is the principal of the applicant. He is also the Rudy of Rudy South and Rudy Marine, and also Robert Palmer of Beacon Engineering, whose offices are located here in Georgetown. An exhibit packet was submitted, which I assume you gentlemen have a copy of, and I will be referring to in my presentation. As stated, this is a conditional use application for a boat sales, service, and storage business. The site is located on the east side of Robinsonville Road. It's just north of Webb's Landing Road and approximately a half a mile northwest of the Peddler's Village Shopping Center on Route 24. The site contains 27.84 acres. It is cleared land used for agricultural use, except for a small wooded area that's located approximately
in the middle of the property. And again, on the site plan, Robbins Hill Road, and that's the wooded area right there.
The land is currently zoned AR1. It will remain zoned AR1 subject to the conditional use for the proposed business if approved. As I stated, the parcel borders Robbins Hill Road on the west side. It is surrounded by woods, basically corn and soybean fields on the other sides. And there is an aerial photo in Exhibit A of the exhibit packet I submitted for your reference. The 163-acre parcel located to the north, and that would be parcel over here, Lands of Vessels. I think you gentlemen are familiar with, that has received preliminary approval in 2009 and then a supplemental approval for some additional lots for 213-lot development called Love Creek Landing. To the best of my knowledge, final approval has not yet been obtained on that development. The conditional use that is being requested is basically a relocation and expansion of an existing business that Mr. Rudloff has been involved in for some time. Tom is from Wilmington, but his parents had a summer place down at Lindley Village, so he spent a lot of time growing up in the beach area. He became interested in boats. He worked on boats. He used boats for time, several summers. He worked at Bob's Marine. In 1986, he placed a classified ad in the Wilmington paper in Wilmington offering to fix boat motors at the owner's home or taking them apart and bringing them home and working on them on his kitchen table. That business actually took hold. In 1987, he bought a house that was owned commercial on Maryland Avenue in Wilmington, and he used that house and garage for his business. In 1990, he gutted that house and made it into a store and became an Evinrude dealer. By 1995, he was selling lots of Evinrude motors, and he ended up buying the house next door. In 1996 and 1997, he bought the next two houses next door, and in 1999 basically demolished all of them, which was almost an entire city block, and he built his existing Wilmington store, which is Rudy Marine. Tom has a house in Sussex County at Joy Beach. For some time he had been considering opening a store in this area. In 2010, a building became available for rent at the Love Creek Marina on Route 24, which I still call the boat hole from when Mr. Raley owned it. There was a building located there that was for rent. It had been a boat marine-related store for some time, but it was then being used for like a furniture and antique-type store. Tom did lease it. He's been operating at that location for several years, and the business has been very successful. However, there are two main problems associated with that location, and basically those problems are the reason that we're here tonight asking for this conditional use. First, Tom's business there has basically outgrown the building and the lot. There's not enough room for the repair work that's done. There's not enough space to display the boats for sale and to store the boats that are being stored for repair work. Additionally, and I know you're all familiar with that area, access to and from that site is by way of Route 24, which is not an ideal access for boats and trailers. The second problem is that that entire property is for sale, and Tom's lease can be terminated on very short notice. Additionally, that site is zoned marine, which you would think would be appropriate, but as you know, property zoned marine for density purposes permits zoning density of up to 12 units per acre. So it's most likely that that site will at some point in time be developed for multifamily use because of that zoning designation. So based on those considerations, Tom looked for a site in the same vicinity as the existing business. He wanted to be near but not on Route 24 to avoid being impacted by or contributing directly to Route 24 traffic. So the site before you tonight was
was located, which is only about a mile from his existing location. As to the applicable land use considerations, as indicated in the plus comments, which are Exhibit B of my exhibit book, the project is located in an investment level 2 and 3 under the strategies for state policies and spending. Both of those levels, according to the strategies plan, are areas where growth is anticipated by local, county, and state land use plans. And as stated in the letter, state investments will support growth in those areas. Under the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, future land use map, these lands are designated as being in the environmentally sensitive development area. As you know, that area is a designated growth area under the comprehensive plan. The plan specifically states under the heading permitted uses that environmentally sensitive developing areas are areas that can accommodate development provided special environmental concerns are addressed. And it also states that retail and office use are appropriate. And the reference to the comprehensive plan or Exhibit C of my packet. Lastly, under the Sussex County zoning ordinance, conditional uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare. Again, as the commission knows, along the Route 24 Long Neck Road corridor, there are many year-round residents and seasonal residents who are enthusiastic and active boaters. Tom's business is designed to serve those existing residents by providing, again, a convenient and safe location for boat sales, service, and storage. As to the site plan itself, and again, there's a in my Exhibit A, there's a small version of that, but the again, the entrance would be from Robbinsville Road right here, approximately in the center of the property. The applicant, per DelDOT, would dedicate a 30-foot right-of-way from the center line of the road, and that's just to confirm the road width there. Apparently, there must be some uncertainty about that. In addition, the applicant would create a 15-foot easement adjacent to the right-of-way for a future multi-use path, and that path would be constructed by the applicant when determined by DelDOT. The entrance, of course, will be designed in accordance with DelDOT standards and regulations. I do want to point out to you, as Lawrence stated, that the original DelDOT comments in the plus comments and in the DelDOT letter dated April 17th were based on a site design that had additional permitted uses. So when this went to plus and what DelDOT originally reviewed had some additional uses on it, including a commercial and self-storage facility. That has all subsequently been dropped. That is not part of this application. And I'll refer to DelDOT's latest letter, which Lawrence mentioned. That's a letter dated May 6th. And that states that as a result of these reduced uses, the vehicle trips have been reduced and a TIS is not required for this use. And again, the service level A on that road will remain a service level A. Now, the traffic impact of this use is very minimal. There's several reasons for that if you just think and use common sense on it. Boat sales, unlike other retail uses, generate very little traffic. It's not like a Wawa store or a bank or a bakery or things of that nature. Likewise, boat services involves basically people who have a boat that needs repair work, bring it to the site and picking it back up when the repairs are completed. Again, very little trip generation. And the boat storage aspect, again, does not involve much coming and going of boats. Most owners basically store their boats for the winter. They pick them up in the spring. There are some owners who may periodically come back and restore it and again remove it, but that actually is really a small portion of the users. In addition, the trips generated by this proposed conditional use are really minuscule compared to the trips that could be generated by an AR1 subdivision on this 27-acre site, which, as you know, is currently a permitted use. So that would be approximately a 50-lot subdivision. And at 10 trips a day, that would generate 10 trips a day, that would generate 500 trips. So very little impact as compared to even what is permitted as a residential use. Near the entrance, there would be an on-premise sign, again, advertising the business. There's a paved entrance road that would extend toward the rear of the property. There'll be a sidewalk along the entrance road to the last building on the site, which is the building back here. There'll be a parking lot, basically, that has access from the access road right here. And then basically the core of the development are the four main buildings, these buildings and this building here. The first building right on the plot would be the boat display and showroom for new boats, and then also offices for the business. The second building would be for parts and service, and the third building would be a warehouse for equipment and parts for the business. There'd be five work areas located to the rear of those buildings, and that's where the actual repair work, servicing, and winterizing, things of that nature, would be performed. There'd be no outside storage of parts or equipment, with the exception, of course, of boats and trailers. Past the third building, as I mentioned, is the only wooded area on the site. And within that wooded area, there is an old family cemetery. That's not on the plot I submitted, but if you're close to this, it's not the entire area. It's just this corner right here where that cemetery is located. I assume historically the house was probably in there, and that was left as a wooded area. Now, the cemetery area will be delineated by an archaeologist. That area will be cleaned. It'll be fixed up. An appropriate decorative type fence will be erected around the burial area. That area will be maintained by the applicant, and public visitation will be permitted to that site during regular business hours. Just past the wooded area, there'll be a single family residence that will be occupied by an employee of the business, and that obviously is to provide security for the site. If you then go back to the very front of the site, to the right of the entrance road, there's an area there designated use one. And then if you go around in a counterclockwise direction, this is use one, use four, use six, and use seven. These are all outside areas. There's no improvements in these areas in terms of building or anything of that nature. Use one would be an outdoor boat sales and display area, and that obviously is located closer to Robbinsville Road. Use four, to the rear of that and behind the buildings, is an outdoor storage area for boats. They would be boats that are having repairs or service work done on them, and also longer-term storage for boats that basically are being serviced by the business. And for example, at the end of the season, owners bring their boats to Rudy Marine. They are then winterized. That shrink wrap is placed on them, and then they're stored in that area for the winter. There is no public access to that area. Boats can only be accessed by employees. So again, that's kind of the serviced storage area. U6 on the other side across from the house, that would be a public boat storage area, again, where people could pay to be able to store their boats, and that would be accessed by a card or a code type thing. All three of those areas will be fenced. All three will be planted in a no-mowed seed mixture. This is a type of ground cover that provides a low-maintenance, slow-growing, water-penetrable, thick cover that holds soils in place. And since it's pervious, it permits all rain and snow to be recharged into the ground, which, as you know, is the main goal of the most recently enacted stormwater management regulations. And, of course, this site will comply with the new regulations. U7, again, toward the road frontage to the left of the entrance road, they are agricultural lands now, and they will remain agricultural lands. There would be security lights at the buildings and storage areas. They would be designed to be directional and not interfere with adjacent properties. And that is something that has been done on other sites and is capable of being done. There would be a 20-foot wide vegetated buffer with a 3-foot high berm along the east and north boundaries. So this buffer would be along this boundary and this boundary. Again, the width would be 20 foot with a 3-foot high berm on it. The western boundary, the boundary to the left, is currently wooded, and the preliminary site plan for the proposed subdivision at that site shows a 50 to 60 foot buffer from the rear of the lots on that site to our property line. And that 50 to 60 foot buffer is indicated to be left in the existing tree cover. So it does not appear that an additional buffer would be needed along the tree buffer that would be right here. Additionally, again, this land back to here will actually be undeveloped or remain in agricultural use. So this will be farmland along this area. That would be the public boat storage area right there. The business would operate at a maximum, so these are the maximum hours, would be 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and that would only be in the peak season. In spring, fall, and winter, the hours would be much less than that. The only other thing would be the public customer boat storage area is being requested to be accessible from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., and again, that would obviously just be in the boating season. Now, as I said, the nature of boat storage is that most boats will leave in the spring and summer. The trailers may come back to be stored, and then, the trailers will go out, pick the boats up, and return them at the end of the season. The business would be served by an on-site well and an on-site septic system. The site is in the Angola Neck sewer planning area, but county sewer is not yet available at this time. But again, obviously, it is in a growth area, and it's in an area where sewer is going to be installed. The business would also result in approximately 10 jobs initially. Those jobs would be fairly high-paying jobs for salespeople and skilled service technicians. More jobs would be created as the business grows. In the exhibits I submitted to you, Exhibit E is a list of proposed conditions for your consideration. I will submit some proposed findings that I prepared, again, for your consideration. Lawrence, do you or Janelle?
Either one.
In closing, the site is an investment level under the state designation where state investments will support growth. The site is in a designated growth area under the comp plan, and the plan recognizes that retail uses are appropriate. And this boat sales, service, and storage business is designed to serve the full-time and seasonal residents of the area, many of which who are boat owners. And this conditional use is essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of those boat owners in that area. And that would conclude my presentation, subject to any questions you may have for myself, Mr. Palmer, or Tom.
All right, shall we thank you? We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Fuqua, in the information that we got from the plus comments, as well as your statements, you stated that the commercial part of this project was dropped?
Correct.
What would that have been versus what's being proposed?
Similar to a question I asked. But the plan that went to PLUS And I was not involved in it at that time, so I don't know all the details of that. But as I understand from the first site plan I saw, it was kind of a wish list plan. It had the uses that are shown here, but it also had approximately in this area, it had a self-storage area. And on the road frontage up here, it had like a commercial pad type thing with no designated use. We discussed it and we realized that that was probably overreaching, and they were all dropped other than the boat business itself.
But wouldn't you characterize boat sales and repairs as of a commercial nature as well?
Oh, yes, I mean, it is a commercial, or at least a business nature.
And are you aware that on this road, are there any other similar projects of a quasi-commercial nature?
From riding down the road, there's something past this site. I don't recall what it is. But it's something involving equipment, but I remember seeing it, but I don't know what it is. Okay. I'd have to check that.
And would it be best to describe this area as basically residential and rural?
No, it wouldn't. Rural is a word that's actually used in the land use plan and is designated as rural areas. The county council made a decision in 2008 that designated this as a growth area. So I don't disagree that it's farmland right now, although I would also mention that the county has approved a subdivision next to this, so the rural nature has already changed. The county also determined to put sewer in this area, Central County Sewer. You don't put sewer in a rural area. Oh, you may put it there, but it's not going to remain rural. So, again, I feel that this area for a general business-type use or rezoning would probably be inappropriate. However, as you know, a conditional use is limited to a specific use. Conditions can be placed on it that can control its impact. And this particular use, particularly with the absolute minimal traffic impact as compared to other commercial uses, and the fact that the nature of the business is not just a retail-type business. It actually is something that provides a service to many people who live in that general area. And I'm sure you're aware that many people down there have own boats. It seems to be a service that people in that area would use, probably including people that will be eventually living in the subdivisions near there.
And how would you describe Robinsonville Road? Is it a major arterial road, or is it a country road?
Well, as you know, the only major arterial roads are Route 1 and Route 9, so it's not a major arterial road. I'm not sure how it's designated by DelDOT.
Okay.
But I know it is a road that has a level of service A, and that this use impact will leave it at level of service A, so there is no significant traffic impact.
Why this location?
Well, the reason is, obviously, it's close to Route 24. It's close to where the existing business is located. And it's close to where people have boats who are using that area in the bay. I often face the problem of that there is no right place. If this application was on Route 24, I'd be hearing objections that Route 24 is too busy. It can't be located on Route 24. It would be dangerous with people with boat trailers, et cetera, et cetera. If I was placing this in a developed residential area, I'd be hearing arguments that it's out of place, it shouldn't be there. All I can say to you is that the county did a land use plan, they put this in a growth area, and they said retail businesses, things of that nature, are appropriate. That's the county plan.
And how would, referencing that this is close to 24, what's the approximate distance that this would be from an intersection with Route 24?
If you go down, I'm not sure what the name of the roads are, but if you go down Robbinsville Road, you cut down another road, you come in at Peddler's Village Shopping Center.
That Hartz Road.
Is that Hartz Road? I don't know. I'd say it is, I wouldn't say, I mean, I measured it on my odometer, and it is approximately half a mile.
You didn't drive it in your Jetta?
That's another case.
I have no further questions at this point, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, sir, we thank you. Mr. Burton.
What's the anticipated numbers of the boat storage and the boat retail and the boat? What's the site going to look like when it's all grown out?
Well, again, like with any business, you'd like it to be as successful as possible. As far as the specifics, Tom, do you want to?
Yeah.
You come on up and introduce yourself.
Yeah. Hello, my name's Tom Rudloff. I own Rudy Marine. We anticipate on display approximately 50 boats for sale. And of course, it's like any business, there'll be rotation of inventory. As far as storage is concerned, probably in the neighborhood of about 250 stored boats. And that could vary, that could fluctuate depending on the service levels that the people are requesting, and that'll fluctuate during the time of the year also.
So is that 250 in the, so it'd be 50 in the sales area, 250 on the one to the right, and then?
Now about 200 and then probably about 50 in the number six, I believe it is, yes.
Okay, and then the plan is for a conditional use for the whole site, but leaving site seven in ag?
Correct. Hope so.
But the whole site's going to get the conditional use.
That's correct, and basically what that means, if that ag area was ever proposed to be used for anything else, it would have to come back to a public hearing to change the conditional use.
Okay, and then does the road that you're planning, does it go all the way through?
I mean, no.
It doesn't?
No, it does not go all the way through. It stops short. In the plus comments, Del Dot did, under their wish list things, not requirements, they did propose that be up to this property line to potentially provide access to the land behind this, which is farmland now, but if it was ever developed residentially, to provide access out. Quite frankly, if you owned a business like this, the last thing in the world you would want is a residential subdivision coming right through the middle of your property. So that's why it does not go to the property.
Okay, and then you mentioned that the repair work is going to be done on the five pad sites. Does that mean?
Yeah, they're actually not pad sites. Tom, could you explain that?
Sure.
These are, again, this is the showroom office, the parts and repair, and the warehouse. These five spots here, pad sites, they're not really pad sites. Tom, if you can explain it.
Right, well, what they would be, what we're trying to do is create one of the most eco-friendly sites that you would see, and that's why the whole place is no mo growth. The buildings we're going to put on those are, if you go up Route 1 and you see those buildings where they put salt in them and they're the white fabric buildings, they require very little electricity to operate those buildings because the sunlight goes through them. So our footprint as far as echo is concerned is going to be very low. We're not going to need a lot of electricity to light the buildings. And it's not going to, and they warm themselves in the winter from the sun and so forth. So we're not going to use a lot of energy with this site, and that's what we're proposing to put on those pads.
So they're going to be in. So there's going to be a door. That
oh
goes
yeah.
In they're not.
Oh
they're
yeah,
enclosed.
They're enclosed. I've already okay. done the research on them. They're completely enclosed, okay. And they have doors like any garage or shop would okay. have, but they're just a much better eco friendly type building.
That's all the questions I have at this point. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Smith?
No questions at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Wallace? Mr. Fuqua, in the plus comments, it also mentioned that the other uses that have been dropped, but one of those was a cell phone tower. I didn't hear you mention that, but that's not in consideration?
No, there. As I said, it was a wish list plan. There was a cell tower location on there, and I believe there was also a billboard location.
Right.
That's all done. The only thing being asked for is what I presented to you tonight.
Okay. And then the cemetery, are those grave sites clearly marked? I mean, do you know that the outside boundaries of that cemetery, are they very well defined? Or?
Roughly they're defined, but again,
an archaeologist would be hired to come in and delineate that, and then once it's delineated, that would be marked off with some type of fencing and, like I said, cleaned up and really made into like a little park almost.
Right. What the commission has done in the past in regards to cemeteries like this that are basically abandoned to make it simplistic, is to ask for an additional buffer. I believe in some applications we've done as much as 50 feet beyond the known boundary markers to give some security that, you know, an old gravesite just is unaware, it's been grown up, we don't have the head marker, but there's actually one there that we're not aware of. So it gives a little bit of security between the known boundary and the potential unknown boundary. Is that something that can be worked into that?
Yeah, I don't see how that would be a problem. I mean, the proposed house could be moved further away. The other buildings are already pretty far away from that.
The roadway, though, goes pretty close on that one side, so.
Yeah, the roadway could be adjusted there to accommodate that. Again, I think a lot of that would depend on the specificity of the archaeological study.
And then I want to follow up a little bit on Mr. Johnson's train of questioning, because it seems like Robinsonville Road is not only primary residential today. I mean, we passed an electric substation this afternoon. My wife and I, every Thursday we have a meeting, we do a roundabout and we go to all the sites. And it's not only primary residential in its current use, it seems like that's the destiny of that road in the future. There'll be other subdivisions, major subdivisions, applications for certain there, but there's not a lot of, in fact, I really didn't notice any commercial uses other than the substation, which is really a utility, on Robinsonville Road. So when you get a site of this size, 20-some acres, it just seems to open up that we're going to get other people wanting, you know, their rationale for doing a business in what is otherwise a residential area. And so it gives me a little bit of pause. And your answer to Mr. Johnson's question hasn't really alleviated that pause. Our primary concern here on the commission is compatibility. I mean, that's the reason we're here. You know, should an asphalt plant be located next to a school? No, or the reverse of that. And this is what we're getting into, is should this size of a commercial use, is it really compatible with the subdivision next door and the probable subdivisions to come on Robinsonville Road? Because we are running sewer and water down there, and it's not for business purposes, it's for residents. Can you make me feel a little bit better?
Well, again, and I don't disagree with what you said or Mr. Johnson said. I understand that, as I said, a B1 or a commercial, well, commercial zoning would be out of question, but a B1 zoning or even a conditional use for many commercial uses would be inappropriate. However, this particular proposed use, again, because it is really geared toward a use that the very people you're talking about would use, the boat owners in that area, would have a storage area nearby to place those boats. This is not just this immediate area, but the area along Route 24 and Long Neck Road. You know, there's a lot of people that live there, a lot of people with boats. This is a place they can be stored. They're going to utilize this. Those same people are the people who are going to buy boats and are going to have service on boats. It provides a location in that area. There's nothing in the sense of nuisance associated with this type of use. You don't have people coming and going at all hours. You don't have the heavy traffic volume. It's not a nuisance operation. So again, it doesn't have that same type of business impact that other businesses have. And again, the traffic impact, it's strange to have a business type use that would have such a minimal traffic impact. This traffic impact, as I said, is minuscule compared to the traffic impact that a currently permitted residential subdivision would have. So with the concerns you expressed, I understand that. You know, when you drive down that road, you say, well, it's all farms and woods. I mean, that's pretty much what's in that area now. Although, as I said, county said it's in a growth zone. County put this in a sewer district, and you and I both know what that means. It's not going to stay the way it is. It's going to be developed. This type of use in a residential area is a use that those same residents are going to use. So that would be my justification.
I understand your argument. I'm not sure I still agree with it, but I understand your argument. That's all my questions, Mr. Chair.
All right, so we thank you. Ms. Cornwell?
No questions, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Lank?
My question has been answered already.
Councilor?
No questions, thanks.
All right then, thank you, Mr. Fuqua. If you take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2025, Rudy South, care of TNC Properties, LLC? Yes, sir, come on up. You give us your name, you may have the floor.
Hello to everybody. My name is Bill Christ, and I live in Lewis.
Okay.
And basically, my story is kind of fun. I came from the worst managed county in the country to the best. Cook County, Illinois is where I came from. So it's kind of fun to be
I'm
here
sorry,
in
where,
Sussex.
Where in Sussex County did you say you lived?
In Lewis.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, it's a great county. Love it. Anyway, we built our home in 2001, and obviously it's near the water, so my wife and I wanted to get on the water, so we went to the where you go to buy a boat, and we bought a large four-person jet ski, and that was exciting, until it needed to be repaired. And it was a three-month wait, and so we got off the water. So 10 years later, we met Tom, and he happened to be trying to converse with our autistic son, which is always interesting. You never know when he wanders off and whether people get that Tom got that, and that was heartening for us. And, you know, we talked about boats. I think we were in the Kmart shopping center for the boat show there. And I went back and forth, told him, look, I don't want to get into it. You know, there are no service stations out in the water. And, you know, things go wrong. And so we continued to speak, and we did buy a boat from him. He was up in Wilmington, and the boat would be taken up and back and up and back, and I encouraged him to get a spot down here, and he said, you know, he's looking, he's trying. But what's interesting about Tom is his attention to detail. So he's not a messy person. And I remember when we built our home, we were very adamant, and everybody told us, you know, make sure you you know, go see your builder's sites. Are they neat at the end of the day? How do they look on the weekends? So, you know, when you look at our boat, I mean, it's you know, now 5 years old, it looks brand new. But what's more incredible is we get more into it with Tom's help. We're very confident when we go out on the water. We know if we have a problem, we can text him. He answers right away. He comes and sends somebody to repair whatever goes wrong, and things do go wrong. You know, it's corrosive in the salt. But what's really amazing, if you see the things that get added, the rigging is so exceptionally perfect. You don't see any seams, you don't see any, I mean, so his attention to detail is incredible. So that, I mean, that's who he is. So in terms of how his place looks, it's extremely neat. He runs a tight ship. And, you know, I think in terms of watching this place grow, certainly in 10 years, I guess I measure it by how long it takes me to get past the high school or down Savannah Road. I mean, people are coming here. And boating is a great thing. And, you know, as my wife said, hey, you're at the ocean. You should do what you do in the ocean, which is boat. And without Rudy, I couldn't boat. It's just there are too many variables that weren't working out. So those would be my comments. And
all right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in favor? Yes, sir. Yeah, come on up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
Yeah, my name is Greg Brennan. I came to Sussex County about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like most people, I come from a different state for taxes and so forth. Most of the people, I heard your concerns about residential, most of the people that come here come for the water and for boating. Mm-hmm. And I think these developments need services, whether it's supermarket, repair places, whatever. And this is one reason I stand here is because I've known Tom for a while now, and there's not a better guy to do this. He is so ethical and so detailed, and like beyond anybody I've ever dealt with in business. He is right to, and he's a double A guy that he does every I and every T. I mean, he's very detailed, as you've seen by the presentation. And this is the kind of guy that you'd have putting this together. You would not have a concern about anything not being taken care of properly, you know. So if, in fact, that you approve this, you're putting it in the best hands possible. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? All right, then. Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2025? Yes, sir. Come on up. Give us your name, please. You may have the floor.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Warren Sandberg. Mm-hmm. I live in Webb's Landing.
Okay.
I live on Heather Drive. Mm-hmm. And out my back porch, I have a beautiful view of the Hills soybean field. And further up, of course, would be Robinsonville Road, where this proposed project is sited. Buying property here several years ago, you know, didn't anticipate that the Hills Farm and the other property would stay open fields forever, that eventually that view would probably be other houses. Never did I think that it could be a commercial property, especially one like this. I think one person already said that they drove through Robinsonville Road and got an idea of what the surrounding properties are like. There is no other commercial property around there. I guess that is the question, and I would like maybe others to respond as to how you think that this proposed project is compatible with the surrounding properties and the comprehensive plan. You know, I have several questions about this project. For example, are the boats going to be stored in racks? How high are the buildings? Are we going to be looking at 42-foot high buildings that have boat racks in them? But I think the bottom line is, if you just simply drive the neighborhood, you'll see that this is be totally out of character with it, and will certainly affect negatively, you know, obviously not only my view, but the existing residential properties and the properties that are planned, some of which have been approved. I think the statement was made, question was asked, why not on Route 24, where most other businesses would be located, and said, well, that wouldn't, you know, it just wouldn't be appropriate trying to get in and out of there. But Robinsonville Road would be a small farm-to-market road. It just doesn't make sense. So for those of you on the commission that haven't driven it, please do that. I think it would become obvious that it's just not appropriate for the area. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Fuquay, or Mr. Rudloff, the gentleman did ask a question. I'd like to get him an answer for that question. He asked how tall your structures might be and what type of boat storage.
Yeah, there will be no boat storage racks of any kind. All boats will be on trailers. No building will be over 20 feet.
Okay.
All right. So everything is very low level. I'd like to address something else the gentleman said, if I may. Buffer here, there will be trees planted on top of the 3-foot mounds. There was no way that anybody from behind us or going up Webb's Lane would be able to see anything that's on the property. In fact, we put the fence on the inside of the buffer so they wouldn't even see a fence. So all you're going to see is landscaping. They will not be able to see any boats or anything inside the property whatsoever.
Okay.
And we did that on purpose to help the neighbors.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, come on up.
I'm William Payne, I also live in Webb's Landing. And again, I find this development out of character. One of the things he stated, that the land was to the left of the road was going to be in farmland. That'd make a nice garden for some of the farms, I think, in Sussex County. I think you all are familiar with the equipment they have today. I don't know how you get a combine in there to do any type of farming on such a small spot. The gentleman has a history of expansion. He mentioned he started with one house, two house, three house, four house. That land, I don't see remaining as farmland. He's putting a road back there. It's just too valuable to be farmland. The other thing he mentioned a lot, Del Dot this and Del Dot that. But it was mentioned he didn't want to put the road to the back to connect. Well, not only the Del Dot, but the state has a lot of regulations that they would like to connect all the communities, the residential communities together, so there's not so much traffic out on one. There's no connection to there to the vessel property. There's no way for the vessel people to come over. Also, he started mentioning he had three buildings. He mentioned sales, service, and storage, and five repair areas outside. Well, now listening, these repair areas are going to be 20-foot high, white, plastic buildings that will stand out. And I think one of the reasons why he wants to put it here rather than where he has it, as you all know, that's very valuable land on 24. And I've been told that the owner has been trying to put a sewer line up through Love Creek development so he can connect before the sewerage on 24. So therefore, it will probably be sold for a motel. And this land there, I think the original showed two pads. Well, two pads, commercial pads. He didn't call them. This is commercial is not being mentioned. But to me, a pad's commercial. Boat sales commercial. He wanted to put a cell phone up. That's commercial. To me, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. It's commercial land. So I am opposed to it because there's no other commercial land there. The Robinsonville Road is not that wide. Besides smaller boats, you have big boats with cunning towers, I call them cunning towers up on top. To sight, they'll be sticking up. He has to repair those and store those. So I don't think just this three buildings would be the extent of that property. The same way as vessel property came back to you. Originally, there was so many homes, section of land was not developed. They came back later, asked for a development of it. This happens all the time. They develop part of the property, then this other land is going to come back. And again, as stated tonight, you asked, was there any other commercial property on the road to compare? Now then, when this property owner comes back, it's going to be, well, yes, we have commercial property right here. It's a boat sale. So why not put another commercial pad next to it? Two years, 5 years down the road? But it seems logical to me that you have that land. It's farmland that really you can't get a big tractor in. It's going to go commercial. And it's just a start. There's a little section of land between that and Webb's Landing Road. Well, that's a corner. That'd be a commercial land too. And it just migrates. So again, I appreciate the time, and I just want to state I'm against it.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Good evening. Bill Baydaller from the retreat at Love Creek. Gentlemen, I think the issue here for the table, and I think some of you have already said it, is the overall area. The conformity of the area and the consistency over time. If you go down Robinsville Road, starting at Plantation Road, you begin to see developments on either side of the road. And then you get to the retreat of Love Creek, and approximately maybe a half a mile down is the proposed Love Creek Landing development. And yes, there's a lot of farmland as you continue to go down towards Route 24, with some scattered houses in the general area. But I refer back to the decision that you made at the Love Creek Landing, where at that time, when the conditional use was requested to put in multi-family homes, townhouses, you as a commission said it was out of character with the area. You pointed out that multifamily homes were out of character with the residential nature that was being created in the neighborhood. I look at a boat sale facility. I'm hearing a lot of positive things about this individual, and he probably will run a very high-end type environment. However, a boat sale facility being placed in the middle of potentially residential communities as you build out does not make sense. One could argue once you do that, you could put in a gas station. One could argue you could put in an RV storage area, or you could put other similar type of uses in place. So I think you have to consider the comprehensive plan's goal and the thought process of conformity with residential areas in that whole corridor, and consider that in this entire decision. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, step right up.
Good evening, my name is Steve Britz. I'm from Webb's Landing. Mr. Lank already read the an email that I sent earlier today with the bulk of my comments. I just want to reiterate that I stand by them. Mr. Fuqua has mentioned that this is an area designated for growth, and that may be true, but I think the growth that's envisioned is residential developments and not commercial. And I reiterate that if we start the pathway towards inserting commercial development, that that's going to continue, and that Robinsonville Road will become an overdeveloped highway in the area. A couple of issues that I brought up in my email that I didn't hear addressed by the developer this evening has one of them is the overhead lighting. How many overhead lights are planned for this area? Where are they going to be located? And what's the schedule for having the lights on? For example, security lighting presumably would be on all night long. Now, it's not clear to me that a 20-foot buffer, even with the 3-foot berm, is really going to be adequate to screen these lights from the viewscape of the people living in our development on Heather Drive. So I also reiterate that a wider buffer with vegetation and perhaps a higher berm would be more suitable if you decide in your wisdom to grant this conditional use. And then finally, the other thing that I didn't hear mentioned this evening is the swimming pond that's designated for the southern corner of the property. What is the swimming pond supposed to be? Why is there a
swimming? It's a stormwater management.
Well, okay. So this is really just a thinly disguised stormwater.
I don't think
retention.
It's disguised.
No, it's
not disguised. That it's SWM. That stands for stormwater.
Stormwater management. SWM.
Well, in the plan, it says a swimming pond.
SWM. As stormwater management.
Stormwater management. Yeah. Well, I take that back. But how is stormwater management going to be handled? That clearly is beyond the scope of this evening's discussion, but I am concerned that the inappropriate runoff from this property could go into Stillman Glade and pollute that area. So.
Well, it would have to be designed to not do that. And that you're right, is probably is a little premature in the process, but the Soil Conservation District has jurisdiction over stormwater management, and it would be any applicant's responsibility, any developer's responsibility on any site to contain the runoff mm-hmm. on his own site and have it channeled into the proper.
But it's worth noting that the pond is elevated with respect to the center of the property, which is basically bowl-shaped. Mm-hmm. So in the center is about 5 feet below or more below the periphery of the property. So water runoff is going to go towards the middle of the property, not towards the pond.
And that'll be their challenge to deal with, because in any event, they cannot run it onto their neighbors. Absolutely can't. Mm-hmm. They can't do that. But I mean, it's certainly worth noting. I appreciate you putting it on the record.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Come on up.
I'm Roland Hill. I own a farm that is adjacent to the property to the north. I really can't add much more. Everybody's done a pretty good job of expressing my feelings, but I'll read what I have here. And our family strongly opposed the request for Rudy South for a boat storage service and storage business on Robinsonville Road. The commercial project is totally out of character with the level three area, which consists of single family homes and farms. And the aesthetics of a boatyard leave a lot to be desired and should not be placed in a residential area. As you've heard, well, we use Webb's Landing Road several times a day in our business because we can't get out of Webb's Landing as a dead end road, so we have to come out of Webb's Landing, go left or right to 24 or out to Plantations Road. 6 mile stretch there. There's nothing of significant commercial businesses along there. There's six developments that's built out pretty much. As you heard tonight, there's two more that's in the planning stage and close to coming to fruition. Really, the conditional use in the neighborhood is just not compatible with what's in the area. And you know, if you pass this or if it's approved, you're just setting a precedence for the next guy that comes in and wants to put in a Wawa or a convenience store or whatever. So. Pretty much my
thoughts. All right, sir. Well, we thank you. Appreciate your comments. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Mr. Johnson, any further questions?
I'm good, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, anyone else? All right, then. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2026, Christian.